Okay, now we're going to start 32A, Lamed Bey Zomad Aleph, starting from the bottom of 31B. Three lines up from the bottom of the page. The Gemara quotes the part of the Mishnah, which continues on with this situation of the finder who could potentially lose money by returning the lost article because he has to lay idle from the work which he's doing. And the Mishnah said, as the Gemara quotes over him, Yesham Bezdin Masna Bifnehem. If there is there a Bezdin, then Masna Bifnehem, he can make a condition in front of them. The condition being that I'm only willing to return this lost article if the loser will pay me the exact amount of money that I'd be losing out from my job in returning the lost article to him. So that's the only way that he can get full compensation. And Yeshon Bezdin, if there is there a Bezdin, Masna Bifnaim, he can make a condition from the word Tanai, Bifnaim in front of them. Says the Gemara. The Gemara presents a story relating to that halacha. Esau v'Rav Safra. Esau and Rav Safra, the names of Amoraim. Ovid Iska Bahadai Hadadi. Engaged in a business venture together. So Ovid means to do, to engage in. Iska is a business venture, asek, an involvement. Bahadi hadodi, the expression means together. Bahadi hadodi, together. They're involved, they engage in a business venture together. Ozal, Rav Safra. Rav Safra went, polaglei, and divided it. Below daite di isor, without the knowledge, da'as, the knowledge, awareness, the isor of isor. Ba'ape bay trey, in the front of, in the face of, bay trey. Literally, the house of two. Bayis, bay is short for bayis, trey is two. Bay trey just means two people. What happened was that Rav Safra wanted to terminate the business venture. Issa was not available, was not around to liquidate the merchandise. And therefore, Rav Safra went ahead and did it by himself. And he did it in front of two witnesses. I'll read the sentence again. Ozar Rav Safra went, Polag lay, he divided it, below Daite, without the knowledge, his knowledge, Daite, his knowledge, the Isor of Isor, Ba'ape, in the face of, in front of, Beitre, two people, two witnesses. Asa Lekamei, the Rabba Barav Huna. Asa, he came, Lekamei, it's shortened over here, he came before the Rabba Barav Huna, before Rabba Barav Huna. The Dala prefix is hard to translate in English. He came before Rabba Barav Huna. This is in the wake of Esau complaining about it and finding out that Rav Safra had done this, he wasn't happy with it. So therefore, it caused an issue. And therefore, Rav Safra came before Rabba Barav Huna to find out what his ruling would be on this. Rashi says, by the way, last Rashi on the page, Palag, he divided B'sahara in the merchandise. He divided up the merchandise. Sahara is the merchandise. V'lo hayu ma'os. There was not money. Oh, they were not money. Ma'os is money. There was not money there. El adover, rather, adover hatzarech shuma, rather, objects, an item that requires shuma, hatzarech, that requires shuma assessment, monetary assessment. And that's why there's a little bit more of an issue over here, because if it would just be dividing money up, it wouldn't be as complicated. But dividing merchandise, which requires assessment, this is why the issue is a little more delicate. And is it sufficient just to have two witnesses to do this? Or, as we'll see in a few minutes, maybe you need a bezdin. So continues the Gemara. So Rav Safra asks Rabbi Rav Huna what his opinion is on this matter. So he said to him, Rabbi Rav Huna said to Rav Safra, Zil, I see Tlosa, go bring Tlosa 3, the palgas that you divided, Kamaihu, in front of them. Bring 3 that you divided, because you need a bezdin. Inami, alternatively, inami is alternatively, Trey, Migo, Tlosa, two from within three. Migo, from within, Tlosa, three. Rashi says, Tere Migo Tlosa, Shnayim, Minashlosha, two from the three. Yavo should come. Vayi'idu, and testify, Loma, to say, Shlosha Hayinu, three we were. A third solution, Vi'inami, Tre Sahade, two witnesses, the polgas that you divided ba'ape in front of Beit Losa, three people, a bezdin. So you see from this that the three alternatives that Rabbi Rav Huna is offering to Rav Safra all involve a bezdin, and two witnesses would not have been sufficient. So Amalei, Rav Safra said to Rabbi Rav Huna, Menolach ha, from where loch to you ha is this din? Where'd you get this halacha from? You need three. What's wrong with two? Amalei, so Rabbi Rav Huna said back to Rav Safra, the Tanan that we learned in our Mishnah, as he quotes, Im yesham bezdin, if there is there a bezdin, masna bifneim, he makes a condition in front of them. But ein sham bezdin, if there is not there a bezdin, that's how the Mishnah continues, bifnei mi yasna, before whom may he make a condition? There's no one there. You can't make a condition with less than three, three judges constituting a bezdin. And therefore, consequently, Shelo Kodam, his own financial concerns, the finder's own financial concerns, comes before the interests of the loser. But what we see from this is that you need a bezdin. Rashi says, Im yesham bezdin, if there is there a bezdin, v'stam bezdin shlosha, and a regular bezdin means three. Alma, we see therefore, ein koach lahafke momen, there is no power to make hefker, momen, property or money, ze'e etzel ze, this one beside this one, b'pochos b'shlosha, with less b'shlosha than three. So we see from the Mishnah that in order to extract money, for A to extract money from B, you always need a bezdin. So since the loser, or the finder, is trying to extract money from the loser, money which ordinarily the loser would not have to pay him, because as we learned earlier, he doesn't have to pay him the full compensation. So since the finder is trying to extract money from the loser, you need a bezdin. So Rabbi Rav Huna is showing Rav Safra that the same case here too. He, Rav Safra, is trying to extract money from Esau, and therefore he needs a bezdin. So Rav Safra responds and says to him, Amalei, he said to him, to Rabbi Rav Huna, Mi Domi, is it similar? Domi means similar. Mi is like a question mark. Mi Domi, are these two cases similar? Hossam over there, in the Mishnah, the Mapik Mamona Mahai, Umosiv Lahai, that he's mapik, he's taking out mamona money, mahai, from this one, umosif lahai, and giving to this one. The finder is trying to take money from the loser, money which ordinarily would not be coming to the finder. So therefore, be'inon bezdin, we require a bezdin. Aval hocha, but here, in my case, didei shakle, him, he's referring to himself, didei, his shakle, he's taking. These two partners in business who are dividing it, so A is taking his rightful portion, and B is taking his rightful portion. Again, didei, shakle, his, he's taking. Therefore, gilui milsa ba'almahu. Therefore, literally, revelation of the matter ba'alma, literally in the world, but contextually merely. Gilui milsa ba'almahu, it's merely a revelation of the matter. The outside supervision required is only a revelation of the matter. It's only a revelation to make sure everything is being done properly. Gilui milsa ba'almahu, the outside supervision is a revelation of the matter, merely it is. And therefore, betray sagile, with two, it's sufficient for him. All you need is two witnesses to do that. You don't need a bezdin. Rashi says, Gili Milsa, Sheyedu Shechalakti B'Shova, that they should know that I divided it equally. And that's all you need the outside supervision for. So that's his contention against Rabbah Bar Rav Huna. And Rav Safra bolsters his point by quoting a Mishnah, a different Mishnah. Teda, you should know literally. You should know, or in a context it means, I'll prove it to you. You can know it from the following Mishnah. The Tanan that we learned in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is in Kesubas. Almana mecheres shlo bifnei bezdin. A widow may sell not in front of bezdin. It's referring to a widow who is entitled to sell the estate of her late husband to be supported by it. So it's when a man dies, his estate must pay his widow a monetary settlement, as is stated in the Kesuba. So until the time that she takes the money, she has to be supported from this. She can be supported, but from the state. And she's allowed to take that property and sell it. So the Mishnah, so this Mishnah is saying that when she does that, she sells it. She doesn't need to sell it in front of a bezdin. So Rashi says, Almana hanizones minichsa yisomim, who's being supported by the property of the orphans, mocheres lemizonos. So she's, the property is the husband's estate. So she may sell the portion that she's entitled to for mizonos, for her own nourishment and support. Shlo bifnei bezdin, Rashi says, ubulvad she yirushnaim, and as long as two people should see, shlo timkor bezol, that she's not selling, it's not being sold, or she's not selling it bezol cheaply. That's all you need, says Rav Safra. You see this from the Mishnah. All you need is just two witnesses to make sure that everything is being done, you know, properly, because she has a right to it. And Rav Safra is applying it to his case as well. As long as one is taking his rightful portion, you don't need a bezdin. So, Amalei Abaye, who was listening to this dialogue between Rav Safra and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, interjects and says to Rav Safra, Abaye says to him, V'lav mi itma Allah, did we not learn, or is it not stated upon it? And was it not stated, Vlav, not me, Itmar stated Allah upon it. I'll read it again. Vlav, and not me, Itmar stated Allah upon it. So this translates into, and was it not stated upon it, upon that Mishnah, the following, Amar of Yosef bar Menume, Rav Yosef bar Menume said, Omar Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav Nachman, Almana, a widow, Einat Tzricha Bezdin, does not require Bezdin, Shal Mumchin, of experts, Aval Tzricha Bezdin, Shal Hedyotas, but she does require a Bezdin of Hedyotas, of laymen. So what the Mishnah is saying, according to Abaye, based upon the explanation of Rav Yosef bar Menume in the name of Rav Nachman, that when the Mishnah said that, an almana, a widow, can sell the estate, shelo bifnei bezdin, not in front of bezdin, it meant not in front of a bezdin of experts, of mumchid, of experts, but indeed a bezdin of hadyotis, minimally, you need that. But to say you need, all you need is two witnesses, is certainly not the case. You need a bezdin. And therefore, so we have now Abaye plus Rabbi Rav Huna, both siding with each other against Rav Safra, that in his case, when he was splitting the business, liquidating his business with Isor, and he did it without Isor's knowledge, doing this in front of two witnesses wouldn't have been sufficient. He needed to have a bezdin, maybe perhaps just a bezdin of hadyotas, of laymen, like in this case of the Kesuba, but certainly he needs a bezdin, but not a bezdin, a superior bezdin of a regular bezdin. Just a bezdin of hadyotas is sufficient. Okay, next Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Motzo Berefes, if he found the article in a refes, in a barn. Ein chayav ba. He's not obligated in it. Bereshus harabim, in a public domain, chayav ba. He's obligated in it. Rashi says, Motza berefes, he found it in a barn. But Gemara mefarish my itzrich. In the Gemara, it will explain what the necessity of this case is. Because it's obvious, if you found something in a barn, then obviously it's in a protected area, lechora, seemingly, and therefore there's no obligation to retrieve it. The Gemara will explain this case. But in a Rishus Rabbim, the Mishnah says, chayba, one is obligated in it. The Mishnah continues, v'im hoyasa bebeisa kavoros, if the article was in a beisa kavoros, a cemetery, beisa kavoros, the word kever is a grave, beisa kavoros is the house of graves, a cemetery. So this case is talking about a kohen who can't go into a cemetery, and therefore if the article is in a beisa kavoros, in a cemetery, and he's a kohen, lo yutamalo, so the kohen could not become tomei for it. Rashi says, Hoysa beisa kavoros, vuhu kohen, and he is a kohen. Im oma lo aviv, if his father said to him, if the Kohen's father said to him, he tomei, become tomei, I want you to go into the cemetery to get that lost article, and I don't care if you could become tomei, you go ahead and do it for me. Become tomei. Or sha'omalo, or the father said to him, al tachzir, don't return the lost article to me. A regular situation, not a Kohen. A father says his son, I don't want you to go to the trouble of returning this lost article to the owner. Don't do it. I want you to do something else for me. Lo yishma lo. He shouldn't listen to him. We'll discuss this in the Gemara, where you have this conflict with parents who tell children not to do a certain mitzvah. The kibud av ve'eim does not take precedence in many situations. So lo yishma lo. He cannot listen to him. Rashi says, or sha'am lo al tachze, or he said to him, don't return it. V'hu b'mokam shehu muta leilach sham. And he is in a place that he is permitted to go there. Mishnah continues, Parak v'ta'an, parak v'ta'an. This goes back to the mitzvah of unloading an animal from its burden. So the bystander was parak, unloaded the animal from its burden, v'ta'an, and then went ahead and reloaded it again. Parak v'ta'an, he unloaded it, and he reloaded it. It kept happening. The animal kept falling over under its burden, and the bystander kept repeating the mitzvah. The Mishnah says, Afilu arba v'chamisha pa'amim, even 4 and 5 times, or 4 or 5 times, pa'amim times, chayav, one is obligated to engage in this mitzvah. We said even 100 times, you have to keep doing it. Shenemar, as it says in the verse, azov ta'azov, help, you shall help. Help, you shall help. You have to keep doing the mitzvah. The Mishnah continues, Holach v'yoshev lo. If the owner went and sat by it and didn't help with the bystander, Holach v'yoshev lo. He went and sat by lo it. V'omar, and the owner said to the bystander, Hol v'alecho mitzvah, since upon you is the mitzvah. The vav prefix on the word alecha is really part of the word hoel. Whenever you have the word hoel, which means since, it's always followed by a vav prefix on the next word. Hoel v'alecha, he said to him, hoel v'alecha, since it's upon you, mitzvah, a mitzvah, so therefore, if it's your desire, if it's your will to unload, so then unload the animal. I'm not helping you. The Mishnah says, Potter, the bystander is exempt from the mitzvah. Shenema, as it says in the verse, Imo, with him, you help with the owner. You don't have to do it all by yourself. Rashi says, Holach, v'yoshev lo, he went and sat by it. And Rashi explains, Ha-ba'alim, the owners. So you're not obligated to help in that situation, because it says Imo in the Pasuk. However, the Mishnah says, Im hoya zokein, if the owner was elderly, ochola, or sickly, chayov, then the bystander is obligated. Okay. Mitzvah min the Torah lifrok. There's a mitzvah from the Torah to unload. Avalo liton, but not to load. Now that's very strange because we learned earlier that there's two mitzvahs, unloading and loading. So the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Rib Shimon Omar, Rib Shimon says, af liton, even to load, there's a mitzvah. Rib Yossi Haglili Omar, Rib Yossi Haglili says, im hayo olav yoser al maso, if there was upon it, the animal, more al maso, more than its burden, meaning that the load on its back was greater than it could bear, then ein zokoklo, then there is no responsibility to it. One is not bound to it. Zokok means to be bound. Ein zokoklo, one is not bound to this, to the animal, to help the animal unload and reload it, because the mitzvah only applies to a burden which the animal could ordinarily handle, but then it kind of fell over temporarily and it can't get back up, and then you have to help it. In those situations, that's when there's a mitzvah. However, the Mishnah says, Shenemez, it says in the verse, Tachas Maso, under its burden, which implies Masuei Shiocho Lamudbo, a burden that it is able to stand up with it. Okay, so says the Gemara, Omar Rava. Rava said, regarding the refes, regarding the barn. Refes, the barn, Sha'amru, that they spoke about, that they said that, that there's no obligation to retrieve an animal which is inside a barn, is referring to Eina Maso, where the barn does not cause the animal to go astray. The word Maso, the Sharish is Toa, Tof Ayin Hei, Toa is to go astray. It's a barn which does not would not cause the animal to go astray. The animal is happy to stay there. The Mephoshim explained that there's fodder inside the barn, and therefore the animal is happy to stay over there. That's what kind of barn we're speaking about. Eina Masa, it doesn't cause the animal to go astray. In addition, Ve'eina Mishameres, the barn does not really protect the animal. It's not locked up thoroughly, properly. So it could go out if it would want to. That's the case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara explains, or Rava explains, Eina Maso, I know that it's referring to a barn which does not cause the animal to go astray. Eina Maso, Medukatane, from the fact that the Mishnah said or taught, Eina Chayba, you're not obligated in it. So it's, if you're not obligated to retrieve it, it must mean that the animal is happy to stay there. It's home, it's in the owner's property, and therefore you're not obligated. So I know it's not that because it says that you're not obligated to retrieve it. Similarly, Ve'ena Mishameres, I know that it's not a completely protected barn, Mide'itzrich, from the fact that it's even necessary, Mide'itzrich, from the fact that it's even necessary, Lemisne, to teach Eina Chayba, that one is not obligated in it. So if it's a completely protected barn, it's locked up, then obviously there's no obligation. The fact that it's telling you, the fact that Mishnah is even going out of its way to say you're not obligated must mean, does it have a meaning that you are obligated? When would you think you're obligated if it's not Mishtameris, if it's not protected? Rashi says, Refis Sha'amra, the barn which they spoke about, Shashaninu of Mishnah, same that we learned in our Mishnah, Askinon, we are dealing with, Kishaina Maso, when it doesn't cause the animal to go astray, as a behema, the animal, shebesocha, that's inside of it, liyos, to be, literally, barachas v'yotzeis, flee and go out. It doesn't cause the animal to flee and go out. Ve'ena mishameres, and it's also not protected, she'ena nu'ula, it's not locked. V'imbas, lotzeis, yotza, and if it came to go out, it could go out. That's what we're speaking about. The Gemara continues, the Isalka Daitach, that if it would go up into your mind, Mishameres, that the barn is a protected barn, a locked up barn, Sahashta. Now, Mashkach La Abroi, if he found it, Abroi. Abroi means outside. The word bar means outside. Abroi is another word like that. Outside, if he found it outside the barn, So ma'ayol la legavoy, ma'ayol to go up, legavoy inside. Which means, so what it means is you could bring it up. A person could bring it up into the inside. And if you found an article outside, then you're allowed to bring it inside the bond. It was if the bond is mishtameris, if this bond being spoken about is a guarded bond, then if you found it outside, then you can bring then you could bring it inside the bond. So therefore, mashkech la megavoy, if you found it inside to begin with, meboya, would it be necessary to even state? It's obvious. If you can take an article and put it into a protected bond, Rashi says, Ma'ayla gavoy, kada'amrina la'el, like we said earlier, le'ginoso, le'chorboso menayin, to his garden and to his ruin, from where do we know? Because we learned this earlier, that you're allowed to return a lost article to a guarded place without the knowledge of the owners. So the Gemara is saying, okay, so the ref has to be speaking about a bond which is not protected, because if it was a bond which is protected, well, if you found it outside the bond, you could bring it into the bond which is protected. So suddenly, if you found it in the bond in the first place, you wouldn't have to retrieve it. You wouldn't have to do anything with it. I'll read it again. Disal gadai to this, it would go up into your mind, mishameres, that this bond is a guarded bond. So hashta now, mashkech lo, if he found it, abroi, outside the bond, ma'ayla legavoy, he could bring it up into the barn, and he would be okay. He would have fulfilled his obligation. So therefore, mashkech lo, if he found it megavoy, if he found it on the inside in the first place, miboya, would it be needed? Would it be necessary to even state? Ella rather, shema mino, learn from this, ainu mishameres, that this barn is not a protected barn. Shema mino, learn from this, it's not a protected barn, and that's what the chiddush is you're allowed to leave it there. And the reason is because it's not a bond which causes the animal to go astray. The Mishnah said, "Motza b'refes ein achayev ba." Still on the case of the bond, if he found it in a bond, he's not obligated in it. So the Gemara now brings a qualification on this din, on this law, by Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, "V'hu sho'imedes toch l'tuchum." It is that the bond is standing within the tuchum. The tuchum is what we call the Shabbos boundary, the 2,000 amos limit outside the city limits. So it's a region of the city, the outside the city, where on Shabbos you're not allowed to walk. Just not even if you're not carrying, you're not allowed to walk out of this boundary of 2,000 amos outside the city limits. So it defines the boundaries of the city. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, when the Mishnah says that you're not obligated to return the lost animal inside the barn, is speaking specifically that the barn is within the tuchum. But if it's outside the tuchum, then even in a barn you'd have to retrieve it. This barn we're speaking about. Now, if the first part of the Mishnah is talking about where the barn is within the tuchum and you're not obligated to retrieve it, then by extension, by implication, Mechlal, the next word, Mechlal, by implication, the Rishus HaRabim, that the next clause of the Mishnah, that in the Rishus HaRabim, that you are obligated to retrieve it, is Vafilu, it's even Betocha Tuchum, that's even within the Tuchum as well. And was the if we're qualifying the first part of the Mishnah to be referring to within the Tuchum, then we'll say, by extension, by implication, the next part of the Mishnah is also within the Tuchum. And it would lead us to the conclusion that the obligation to retrieve it, if it's in the Rishus Rabim, is even if it's betocha tuchum, even if it's within the tuchum, nami, also chayov, one is obligated. That's one version of Rabbi Yitzchok's qualification to the Mishnah. Ikka demasne lo asefa, there are those that teach Rabbi Yitzchok's qualification on the sefa, on the second part of the Mishnah, as follows: Rishus Rabim, in the Rishus Rabim chayav ba, you're obligated to retrieve it if it's in the Rishus Rabim. On this comes Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "V'husha medes chutz l'tuchum." That is, if it's standing outside the tuchum. The qualification, when is the qualification on retrieving it in the Rishus Rabim, is when the animal is outside the tuchum. And again, the same logic applies. Mechlal, by implication, therefore, the berefes, the case in the ref of the refes, where you are not obligated to retrieve it, is afilu amedes, even if it's standing chutz l'tuchum, outside the tuchum. Nami Enochaiba. Also, one is not obligated in it. So it comes out then the halacha would be different depending upon which part of the Mishnah Rabbi Yitzchak is speaking about. According to the first version, if you found an animal inside the Rishus Rabbim, you always have to retrieve it. Inside the Tchum, outside the Tchum doesn't make a difference. If you found it in the barn, though, you only have to retrieve it if it's found beyond the Tchum, but not inside the Tchum. And according to the second version, if you found the animal in the barn, you don't have to retrieve it, regardless of the barn's, where the barn is, inside the Tchum, outside the Tchum. And if you found it in the Rishus HaRabim, then you retrieve it only if it's standing beyond the Tchum. But if it's standing inside the Tchum, then you don't have to retrieve it. Back to the Gemara. So the Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah, which says, "Bebeis hakavoros lo yitma lo," referring to a Kohen who can't go into a cemetery to retrieve the lost article, and his father says to him that he should go into the cemetery to retrieve the lost article. And similarly, another case, which the Gemara doesn't quote the next part of the Mishnah, but the other case was if the father tells a regular person, don't retrieve a lost article. In both those cases, the Mishnah rules that one is not obligated to listen to the parent, to disobey the halacha of going to a cemetery for a kohen, or disobey the halacha, the mitzvah of retrieving a lost article for a regular person. So you don't listen to a parent if the parent tells you to violate a Torah commandment. That's the principle. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Minayin, from where do we know, Shim Omar Lo Aviv, that if his father said to him, he tamei, become tamei, O Sha'omar Lo, or he said to him, or that he said to him, Al Tachzir, don't return the lost article, Shlo Yishma Lo, that he shouldn't listen to him, that the child should not listen to the parent. So the Gemara, the Brice is expanding on the same case as the Mishnah to explain the origin of the halacha. So how do we know this? How do we know that the child should not listen to the parent to disobey these mitzvahs? Shenema, as the verse says, Ish imo va'aviv tiro, every man, imo, his mother, va'aviv, and his father, tiro, you shall revere. Every person has to revere his parents. Ve'eshab sosai tishmoru, and my Sabbath, tishmor, you shall observe, ani Hashem, I am Hashem. So from this pasuk, the Brisa expounds, kulachem chayovim bekavode, all of you are obliged or obligated in my honor. All of you are obligated in my honor, says Rashi, ani Hashem, afal pish amarti, even though that I have said, lecha to you, yorei es avicha, revere your father. However, ani adon l'shneichem, I am a master to both of you. Vim amar lecha avicha, and if your father said to you, avor, transgress, al devorai, on my words, lechalol Shabbos, to desecrate Shabbos, al tishmalo, do not listen to him. Don't forget that I'm the master of both of you, and my commandment supersedes everything, and you have to listen to me before you listen to your father to violate my other commandments here, for instance, Shabbos. So that's the source of this this idea that if a parent tells you to disobey a commandment, there's no obligation to listen to the parent from this pasuk. So says the Gemara, Taima, the reason why you must disobey the parent is the cause of Rachmana, is that the Torah wrote, Rachmana, the merciful one, the Torah wrote, Eshab Sosai Tishmaru, my Shabbos you shall observe. There was the reason that we know this whole idea of disobeying the parent is because it says this pasuk, because we just had this pasuk of Eshab Sosai Tishmaru, Ani Hashem, my Shabbos you shall observe, I am Hashem, I am the master. Ha lav hachi, if not for this, the implication is ha lav hachi. So behold, lav hachi, not for this, if not for this pasuk, hava amina, I would have said, tzaisalei, listen to him. Tzaisa is Aramaic for to listen, and the Havamina would be, without this drasha, the Havamina would be to listen to the parent, to violate, for instance, the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. That's the implication. If not for this pasuk, you just say, yeah, go ahead and listen to the parent. Rashi says, Hava Amina Tzaisa Lei. I would have said to listen to him. You have to listen to the parent. Rashi says, D'osi Asei the kibud, that the Asei, the positive commandment of honor, comes. Osi means to come. D'osi, that it comes. Asei, the positive commandment, the kibud of honor. V'dochi, and pushes aside. Losasei, the negative commandment, the losuchal lehisalim, that you are not allowed to ignore the lost article. That's the negative commandment of Hashavas Aveda. So that's the Havamina. The Havamina would be that you should listen to the parent. Listen to the parent, the mitzvah kibud aveim would supersede the negative commandment of Hashavas Aveda. Now, I'm going to read the next part of the Rashi after we read the next part of the Gemara. So the Gemara continues and says right away, V'amai, and why? Well, but why? Why would that be the case? Why would you have to listen to, why would you have such a havamina of listening to the parent? Hai asay, v'hai los asay, v'asay. Because this is an asay, the mitzvah of kibud aveim is an asay, v'hai, and this mitzvah of Hashavas Veda is not just merely a los asay, it's an asay as well. V'hai, and this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is a los asay v'asay, is a negative commandment and an asay. And the Gemara says, lo asi asay, and a positive commandment cannot come, lo asi asay, an asay cannot come, v'dochi, and push aside, as los asay, the negative commandment, v'asay, and a positive commandment. Now we can continue with the Rashi there. Rashi says, Aveda is an asay, v'los asay. And Aveda involves two commandments, a positive and a negative. Asay v'los asay hi. As follows, Hoshev tashivim, return, you shall return, is the... It just quoted it. Hoshev tashivim, return, you shall return. And lo sucha lesalem, don't ignore, you're not able to ignore. The Hoshev Teshivim is the positive, and Lo Sucha L'Salim, you're not allowed to ignore the article, is the negative. So therefore, even without this Pasuk, even without our Pasuk of Eshapsosai Tishmoru Ani Hashem, you would know that you wouldn't have to listen to the parent, because the parent is basically is telling you to push aside a positive or a negative, and the listening to the parent is only a positive. So we don't need any Pasuk to teach us this. It's just the application of that principle. So the Gemara answers, the reason why we still need the pasuk to tell you that you shouldn't listen to the parent is as follows: because salka daita chamina, it would have gone up into my mind to say, I would have said, hoil v'hukash, since it's compared kibud of ve'aim the kavod shalmakam, honoring of parents, to the honoring of Mokum of Hashem, since the honoring of parents is compared to the honoring of Hashem, Hamokum means Hashem, the place. So since the honoring of parents is like the honoring of Hashem, Shenemar, as we know, as Shenemar can, as it says over here, Kabed Esavicha, honor your father, Vasimech, and your mother, Venemar Lahalon, and it says later on, it is stated later on, Kabed es Hashem mehunecha, honor Hashem from your wealth, from your resources. Hilkach, therefore, letzayis lei. Therefore, let him listen to him. Let the child listen to the parent, even if the parent tells you to violate another mitzvah, regardless of the inequality between the two mitzvahs of listening to the parent and doing the other mitzvah, namely the asay and the lus asay concept. And therefore, you should listen to the parent regardless, because the parent's like Hashem, is like Hashem to the child. Kamash Malon, therefore, the Torah comes to teach us in our pasuk here of Eshapsosai Tishmoru, to Lolish Malay, that he shouldn't listen to him. That he shouldn't listen to him. But still in all, the the other mitzvah takes precedence over honoring parents, says Rashi. Rashi says, Hukesh Kavodom, their honor is compared, but Gezerah Shava, with a Gezerah Shava, Kabed Es Avicha, honor your father, and Kabed Es Hashem Mehunecha, and honor Hashem from your wealth. The word Kaved is the word of the Gezerah Shava, and that's what would tell you to listen to your parent. And that's why the other pasuk comes to reject that and tell you that you shouldn't listen to your parents and should go ahead and do the mitzvah Shavas Aveda. Or the other example, the Kohen should not go into the cemetery. Okay, the Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah, which says, Mitzvah min haTorah lifrog, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to unload, avalo litong, but not to load. So says the Gemara, my avalo litong, what is the meaning of the statement in the Mishnah, but not to load? Ilema, if you'll say avalo litong klal, but not to load at all, there's no mitzvah at all. So maishna prika, what's the difference about prika? What's unique about prika? What's the difference regarding prika unloading the kosav, the ksiv, azov tazov, help you shall help, imo with him, to inaname, loading also, haksiv, behold it's written, hakem tokem, raise you shall raise, you shall raise the burden back onto the animal's back. Ella, rather, what it means is mitzvah min haTorah lifrok bechinam. It's a mitzvah from the Torah to unload for free. V'lo liton bechinam, and not to load for free. Ella b'schar, but rather with payment. But Reb Shimon says, af liton bechinam. And Reb Shimon disagrees that even loading for free, even to load for free, that's what when Reb Shimon says, no, even loading there's a mitzvah, he means to say, loading for free. You have to do that for free as well. So based upon that interpretation of the Mishnah, so the Gemara now says, Tanina, we have thus learned in our Mishnah, this explanation which we just put forward, we've thus learned in our Mishnah, Laha de Tana Rabbanan, that the rabbis taught in a Braisa. Laha, that de Tana Rabbanan, that the rabbis taught in a Braisa, as follows. Prika b'china, unloading has to be done for free. Te'ina b'sachar, loading for payment, can be done for payment. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, zuva zu b'chinam, this and this for free. So it's the exact, you know, machlokas, the exact, you know, way that the machlokas goes in our Mishnah. So asks the Gemara, my taimaihu de Rabbanan, what's the reason of the Rabbanan who say that you're allowed to charge for the loading? The Isal Kadaitach, that if it would arise up in your mind, Kerb Shimon, like Kerb Shimon, that you have to do both mitzvahs for free, so Lecht of Rachmana Te'ina, let the Torah just write the mitzvah of Te'ina, of loading, lo by Prika, and it wouldn't be necessary, Prika, lo by, it wouldn't need Prika, the Torah would not need Prika. Va'ana Amina, and I would say, Mati'ina, just as loading, the less botzar balechayim, that there isn't in it pain of the of animals, tsar balechayim, pain of animals, v'lecha chesra kis, and there is no loss of money, chayov, one is obligated, so prika, unloading, the isbot tsar balechayim, that there is in it tsar balechayim, v'chesra kis, and loss of money, the kol shekein, would it not be all the more so? And Rashi says, to less pay chesron kis, there's no chesron kis, no loss of money, in lo yiton, if you don't help load the animal up, because there's no loss of money to the owner if you allow the load to stay off the back of the animal. It's not causing any pain to the animal, and therefore it's not causing any loss of money to the owner. But by prika, by unloading, Rashi says, prika isboch sarin kis, there is loss of money to the owner if the load stays on the animal. Why? Sheha behema, that the animal is nishberis, can be injured, from the word shavar, to break. Tachas masor, underneath its burden. So if the Torah would just write te'ina, and I would automatically know prika, so there's no necessity to write prika, so then Ella rather, says the Gemara, l'may hilchasa, for what halacha does the Torah write both mitzvahs? L'may hilchas a kosvei rachmana. For what halacha did the Torah write it? Did the Torah write the mitzvah of prika? And the answer is, the Gemara says, according to Rabbanan, l'muchot l'cha, to teach you, to show you, to teach you, prika b'chinam, that unloading has to be done for free, but t'ina b'sachar, and loading can be done for payment. Rashi says, Rashi is l'muchot prika b'chinam, to say to you that prika is b'chinam, unloading is for free, aval t'ina, but loading, lonis daves, ala b'sachar, loading is not commanded except with payment, to take payment. Hilkach, therefore, ilokos of prika, if the Torah would not have written prika, unloading, and instead, va'asya mekal v'choma, and instead it would come mekal v'choma from a kal v'choma, and all the more so, like we said before, that you would know automatically prika, if you're told ti'ina, then you know prika, with a kal v'choma, meti'ina from ti'ina, so hava amina, I would have said, and here's an interesting expression, dayo leva min adin lios kanidon, which means it's enough. Dayo, it's enough leva for the halacha which comes min hadin from the law of a kal v'choma, lios to be kanidon, like the thing, like the literally the judged thing. It refers to the thing which teaches, which is the source of the kal v'choma. In this case, it would be it's ti'ina. So again, hava mina, I would have said dayo, it's enough levar min adin for the halacha which comes from the din from the kal v'choma, which is prika, liyos to be like the nidon, like the source of the kal v'choma, which is ti'ina. Basically, we're saying like this: if you make a kal v'choma from A to B, if A is true, therefore B is also true. B can only be as great as A. You can't make the halachas of B greater than A just because it came from a kal v'choma. The kal v'choma can only teach you that B is also true, but you can't make the halachas of B greater than the halachas of A. So in this case over here, we're saying that if the Torah would have written ti'ina, then I certainly know prika. If there's a mitzvah to do ti'ina, then there's certainly a mitzvah to do prika. But you can't make the halachas of prika greater than the halachas of ti'ina, so that if the halacha of ti'ina would be for payment, then by definition, the halacha of prika also would be for payment as well. As Rashi concludes, ma ti'ina, just as ti'ina loading is besacha, is with payment, so af prika besacha, even prika and loading can also be done for payment. So even though the mitzvah prika, is more obvious, is suddenly obvious if there's a mitzvah ti'ina, but just because it's suddenly obvious and suddenly you have to do prika if you have to do ti'ina, doesn't mean to say the prika has to be done for free. It can only be as great as the mitzvah ti'ina, which is for payment. So therefore, if the Torah would not have written prika as well, then I would have said that prika is for payment, and the halacha is really, no, it's for free. And that's why the Torah writes both mitzvahs, ti'ina and prika. That's all according to Rabbanan. Back to the Gemara, for Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon, my timer, what's the reason why the Torah writes both mitzvahs, if according to him, both mitzvahs are indeed for free? Mishum de lo mesai mekroi, because the verses are not conclusive. Kroi is verses, lo mesai me, they're not conclusive. The verses are not conclusive. Rashi says, lo mesai mekroi, le mashmoyos ti'ina, for the implication of it meaning ti'ina, for their implying ti'ina. It's not clear. Hilkach, ikasav chad, if the Torah would only written one of them, havamina leprika asa, I would have said it would be coming for prika, for the more obvious one. Asa, it comes. So since l'masai mekroi, so that's why both mitzvahs are written. And the Gemara says, Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would say back to Reb Shimon, they would say, am I l'masai mekroi? Why the verse is not conclusive? What are you talking about? Look at the verses, they say. They would say to Reb Shimon, Hacha, over here, in the mitzvah of Prika, the Pasuk says, Ksiv, it's written, Rovet tachas maso, the animal is crouching underneath its burden. So that certainly implies Prika, as Rashi says, Rovet tachas maso, mashma shetzarach lifrug, implies that it required, that it needs to be unloaded. And Hosm over there, in the mitzvah, the other mitzvah, Ksiv, it's written, Noflim, Bederech, Now, noflim means they have fallen. They have fallen down on the road. Now, what's the plural of they have fallen down on the road? So the Gemara says, the ramu inuhu v'tu'unayhu b'orcha mashma. That ramu means to cast down, to throw, or to cast down. Inuhu they v'tu'unayhu, and their burden and their load, b'orcha, on the road. That implies, the noflim, the plural of they have fallen, implies that two things have fallen down, are being cast down, which is the animal and the burden. The burden's fallen off the back of the animal, it's laying on the ground, and it needs to be put back onto the animal's back. Rashi says, the ramu and inuhu v'tu'unayhu b'orcha, that the animals, it's saying they is referring to animals. Animals v'tu'unayhu and their burdens have fallen down on the road. Afamasa mutol ala karka, even the burden is laying there, is placed, or laying there ala karka on the ground, shetzarach liton, that it needs to be loaded back onto the animal. So that's the Rabbanan's argument. What's the confusion of the implication of the verses? It's very clear what the verses are talking about. One's talking about Tina, one's talking about Prika. So why are you saying the verse is not conclusive? So Rabbi Shimon says back, Rabbi Shimon would say back to you, no, Noflim B'derach, that second verse, which you say is obvious, is talking about Te'ina, where it says Noflim, they've fallen down on the road. Noflim B'derach means, says Rabbi Shimon, Inahu v'tu'unayu ilavayu, they and their burdens on them, ilavayu, on their back, Mashman implies. So it's not conclusive. You could say what it means is, the pasuk is saying that the animal with the burden on the back have fallen down on the ground, and the mitzvah at hand would be to unload the burden from the animal's back. It doesn't imply conclusively that the burdens have fallen off the back and are laying on the ground. I could say inahu, they, the animals, v'tu'unayhu, and their burdens, alavayhu, on them, ilavayhu, on them, on their backs, mashma, it implies.